This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour is brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, light, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They'll make sure you're fully insured. They'll do everything they can to save you money. Could be bundles. Could be going across state lines when allowed. Customer service means everything to them at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. It is always a pleasure to be joined by the outstanding Bob Nightingale. Bob, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Sure, my pleasure. Thanks, Steve.
Okay, so we get to this point at mid-May. What are a couple of storylines do you feel have developed to this point that are going to be interesting to follow?
Well, certainly what the, you know, what the Dodgers are doing with Ohtani has been fun to watch. You know, now you can have to ask yourself, you know, will he be better off just Ohtani being an everyday right fielder? And, you know, don't even bother with pitching anymore. We'll see. You know, he loves hitting. I think pitching is more of a hobby to him. You know, we'll see if he ever wants to give that up. It's probably not going to happen, you know, right away. You know, maybe pitch again a little bit next year. But, you know, we see what he can do when he focuses strictly on hitting. You know, and then, of course, the pennant races or the powers. Certainly, you know, in Europe, it was, it's fun to see what's going on with the Philadelphia Phillies, you know, jumping off to this great start. And, they're beating some bad teams along the way, but it's amazing to see just how dominant that pitching is with the offense. So they get to postseason, you know, when you can have, Wheeler and Nola and now Ranger Suarez, you know, you can win a lot of games that way.
I've always maintained that I thought the guy that had the best chance of getting to Hank Aaron was not Barry Bonds, it was Ken Griffey Jr. But injuries derailed his great career. And you wrote an interesting article about Mike Trout bringing back painful memories of Ken Griffey Jr. How tough has it been to see a talent like that constantly getting derailed by something?
Yeah, just a, kind of breaks your heart because you're thinking, you know, this guy's being compared to Mickey Mantle, everything else, having those great, great years. And then just kind of hit a wall. I mean, four straight years of big-time injuries. And so, you know, don't go away, you know, as you get older. You know, as Griffey pointed out, you know, the center fielders only have a shelf life of 12, 13 years. They hit a wall. You know, we saw that with McCutcheon. We saw that with Andrew Jones. And, you know, of course, Griffey and Trout, it's just a so much wear and tear in your body. You know, I think maybe that's why it's smart for the Phillies to move, you know, Harper to first base. You know, wasn't playing center field. It's only first base a lot easier in your body than playing right field.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Twins ripped off 12 consecutive wins. What did you see with that team, and what have you been told about that team that puts them in a spot where, after a slow start, they're playing really well?
Well, so on the schedule, I mean, you know, anybody can beat anybody, as you know, but 10 of those 12 were against the Chicago White Sox and the Angels. So, yeah. But, you know, you still have to win those games. Anything can happen. So, they're certainly a better team than it started off. I think the division's wide open. I mean, certainly might be the most fun division in baseball because no one has a big payroll. And everybody's so equal. Whether you have Cleveland and Detroit, Kansas City, it's like, you know, you can make a case for, you know, all those teams except for the White Sox, you know, to win the division, at least have a chance to win the playoffs.
Why are the White Sox a mess?
you know, just the farm system had decayed. Their star players all injured, and they're getting injured year after year. You wonder what's going on there. Nobody seems like can stay healthy. So now they're dumping guys. They dumped Grossman today. Of course, Dylan Cease was their ace. It made sense to trade him. And then now you have just a full rebuild. And it was one of the worst rebuilds ever in the sense that it only lasted a couple of years. That window was supposed to stay open for a while. It stayed open, really 2021, 2022, and then hit a wall and stopped. So, they didn't do it right. That's why I admire a team like Washington Nationals with Mike Rizzo. This is the second big rebuild, and he seems like he does this thing right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a way to do it. Now, is it how they're managed in the front office, or is this an ownership issue in Chicago?
It's not an ownership issue. I mean, they had the highest payroll in the division for a number of years, so it's not that. If there's any fault, Jerry Reinsdorf stays loyal, very loyal, maybe to a fault at times. But, it's got to be the scouting development, not getting these guys. I mean, here's the Dodgers, who are drafting last or next to last year after year, and they're coming up with studs all the time. The White Sox, all those years really haven't come up with anybody, a few good international signings, but that sort of thing. So if you're not scouting developing well, you're going to be a mess.
All right, so now that you mentioned the Phillies, and the schedule has worked to their favor, what do you like about the makeup of that team?
I love the makeup of that team, Steve. It's just fiery guys, intense guys who they love being around each other, and they just despise losing. Particularly a guy like Kyle Schwarber. He has big holes in his swing and everything else. But the guy loves winning. That's all he cares about. He was that way in Chicago, that way with Boston, and now Philly. I think he's so much more valuable than what his batting average shows and everything else. I was putting him in the top 10 at MVP last year, but the batting average about 190 suck. It'd be tough to do that. And it's a fun atmosphere around. It's really like an old school group. Guys sitting around after games talking baseball and that sort of thing.
Look, and they drafted Alec Boehm third overall. They drafted Bryson Stott, the kid out of Las Vegas. Two starters for them. They brought Rojas through their system. Well, what I like is they've acquired guys like Marsh, you mentioned Schwarber, signed Harper, and acquired Real Muto, that all have that kind of fire that you have. It's almost like they're looking not just for talent, but a personality type when they make a deal.
No, absolutely. And you've got to be a tough person to play in Philadelphia. I mean, it's the toughest place in baseball to play. I would say it's Philly, then Boston, then New York. Toronto's up there, too. But, I remember, Bryce Harper, being in Philadelphia, he got booed in the third or fourth game, and I was there of his career. But he had the personality to say, I'm booing myself. I stink right now. That sort of thing. So you got to be very mentally tough. And, guys like Harper are much better off playing in Philadelphia than he would be in a small market. But I don't think he gets nearly as charged up. And I think these guys, feed off that crowd. And you saw Trey Turner last year. They started cheering for him. And then he became a different player. But, I think all those guys there are mentally tough.
The one thing about what the Orioles did last year was great. The question was going to be whether they could go back and do it again. Now they're not going into a city saying, "Well, who are these guys?" Now they're going in as the defending, the team is the defending champ in the division. Yet they're 23-12. What have you seen from the Orioles that's allowed them to continue really what they did last year?
They have so much great young talent, and now you have Corbin Burns. They've had some injuries and stuff to that rotation, but that young talent, and they're loaded. I mean, you talk to scouts, they'll tell you four guys at the AAA team could play for another major league team in baseball. So I was surprised when people, I think the odds makers only had him winning like 88, 90 wins. It's like, wait a minute now. They won 101 games last year, and, you know, now they have a year of experience. So they were my pick to win the World Series. I'll stick with them.
I would.
They're so good athletically. It reminds you a lot of, you know, that young Houston Astros team coming up and the young Chicago Cubs team coming up.
I'm with you all the way. I totally agree with that. I mean, and you mentioned the Astros. It has come to the point in recent history that we're used to them being a major factor in October. Right now, they're in last place. Why?
And I think, you know, people wonder how much a manager means. I think they really miss Dusty Baker.
Yeah.
Future Hall of Fame manager. You got a rookie manager. It seems like he's panicking. You know, they're benching guys after 4 or 5 days. They're doing multiple, you know, save innings already. It seems like a lot of times, you know, if the players see the manager panicking, they're going to panic. So I think that's a big thing. They've had pitching injuries, too, with that starting rotation. You know, they lost, you know, 3-4 guys. But I think Baker's made a big difference just missing him.
That's a great point. And then there's Mets and Yankees. So I'll take you to New York City. The Yankees are off to obviously a good start. They're right there side by side with the Orioles, but the Orioles just beat them. And then there's the Mets. So how do you view each of those two so far?
Well, I mean, the Yankees are all in. I mean, you got Soto for 1 year. So, those guys need to stay healthy, too. You need Judge to stay healthy the whole way. And Stanton, too, or at least, you know, reasonably healthy. So they need Garrett Cole back. They need Cole to, really give them a chance to, go deep into October. So they're built to win right now. Where the Mets, I think they want to stay, they want to stay relative. They want to be in contention. But I don't think they're, serious about, going to the World Series or even making the playoffs for that matter. I think if they made the playoffs, maybe that's just a little icing on the cake because they're kind of trying to rebuild here, a mild rebuild, to go back under the luxury tax and then really, go for it next winter where the Yankees are built to win right now.
We can go delve into stats. They usually can be fun, and we can talk about that. So 7 times in the history of Major League Baseball has a batter struck out 44 or more times by the end of April. 4 of those 7 have been this season. The aforementioned Kyle Schwarber, Will Benson of the Reds, O'Neill Cruz of the Pirates, Teoscar Hernandez of the Dodgers. Oh, and by the way, Joey Gallo at 43. So we had talked for years about the game is strikeout, walk, home run. What do you see in the game right now? Because it doesn't feel that way. But how does it feel to you?
I mean, it seems a little better. I mean, it seems like guys, are putting the ball in play a little bit more than they did. With the fielding not as good as it used to be. I don't know why guys just put the ball in play. You saw, Luis Arraez come over to San Diego, 4 hits his first 4 at-bats. Just a master with that bat. But, how many times does your balls get through the hole, guy makes a throwing error, things like that. So, I think guys are trying to be more cognizant of that. But certainly they don't get penalized for striking out. And they get rewarded for hitting home runs. I mean, it used to be, I remember when Steve Balboni struck out 100 times, they gave a ball to Dom Perignon, kind of by teasing him. So now guys are striking out 100 times before the All-Star break.
Right.
It's amazing. Well, if he rose, we're talking about Joey Gallo, when he struck out, 220, 230 times, because I would have shot myself if I ever did something like that.
Oh.
So, it's amazing where these strikeouts are out of control. I kind of changed my Hall of Fame balloting on Billy Wagner about 3-4 years ago when talking to a couple of scouts and said, you know what, Billy Wagner was striking out guys when guys were embarrassed to strike out. It's totally different now.
Yeah.
He's absolutely right. I mean, that's why these strikeout records don't make sense for pitchers, because hitters just approach the game so much differently than they used to.
And so do pitchers, because they're coming in and they're throwing essentially as hard as they can for a shorter period of time, but throwing as hard as they can for the most part. Does that have something to do with the rash of early season injuries that was seen among pitchers? Because I know some people want to blame the pitch clock.
Yeah, no, I just think it's the way they brought up. And they brought up that way, you know, way before Major Leagues gets them, you know, back to high school, junior high, that sort of thing. You know, there's several pitchers that brought this up. I think Tyler Glass now on a podcast saying risk versus reward. You know, if you're throwing 100 miles an hour, you're going to get drafted. You get major scholarship. If you blow out, you blow out. But at least you got your money. Where, you know, before it was, you know, hey, have a nice long career, met, try to stay injury-free for 15 years. Now it's almost like guys don't care if they blow out. They'll get the Tommy John surgery. Then they can even throw harder when they come back.
Bob, it is always, always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Sure, my pleasure. Take care of yourself, Steve.
The great Bob Nightingale, USA Today. Nate Bauer next half hour. Talk Penn State sports with him. And this half hour, by the way, brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, light, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. Okay? Doesn't matter what your insurance need happen to be or needs. Let's face it, you have multiple insurance needs. Everybody does. And you need to have the best in the business that has your back, because they believe in customer service. You're not a number to them. Well, they may service a lot of insurance needs for a wide variety of customers, but you are still individually important to them. Each one is. Because you have, each one has your own personalized needs. It's not homogenized. They take care of it. Great people, I mean, really great people, that are great pros. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. By the way, Juwan Howard is back in basketball. You know what the landing spot was?
The Nets.
Yeah. Yep, Brooklyn Nets. Assistant coach. So he's back in the NBA. We'll come back more in a moment. Great to have you with us today here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn what they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
I got the Phillies in there. Yeah. Phenomenal start. Fun team to watch. Yeah.
Both Todd Zielecki and Scott Lauber both mentioned in the preseason about how big a how badly they wanted to get off to a good start this year. I don't think either of them thought it would be this good, though.
No, I mean, it's been tremendous to see this. They're an entertaining team, and it goes back. Bob made a great point, and I try to expand upon that, in that look who they have on the team, the makeup of the team. When you have a makeup, okay, where, you know, I talk about Bone being a third overall pick, Bryson Stott, you know, Bryson's done this show before. First round pick, the kid out of Vegas, right? Right? Rojas came up through the system. But look who they have acquired. The ultimate competitor in Harper, you know. But the fire that Brandon Marsh brings. Interesting. Kyle Schwarber. Wow. The fire he brings. You know, then you add in Realmuto and Castellanos. I mean, they have guys that bring an emotional competitiveness to the table to go with their talent that I think is a difference maker and is special, and why a team becomes loved. Fans love talent, no question, but when you have talent combined with fire, which is what the Phillies have, fans will gravitate to you in a heartbeat.
And they all seem to like each other, too.
Yeah, but when you're winning, everybody likes each other.
Well, that's true.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, Todd. But every time I hear that, I always think, well, yeah, they're winning. Right. It's like the Eagles last year, when they were winning, we didn't hear too much. When they stopped winning, we heard a lot about what was going on.
This is quite true.
Yeah, I was like, there's an issue. A.J. Brown's a problem. Okay. Right. So, all right. Nate Bauer next half hour. And it's great to have you with us. This half hour has been brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
An in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sounds impressive. All right. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best of new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. By the way, those new vehicles with great warranties on them. If you're vacillating on whether you get a new vehicle versus pre-owned, look at the warranty. And a great service department that does a terrific job, routine, difficult. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. To take time away from the passion of golf and probably another two or three under par round, Nate Bauer still gives us his time to this show to improve the image and ratings of it. Thank you, sir.
Just hearing two or three under par makes me shudder. I haven't seen those scores in a very, very long, long, long time.
But you could do it, though.
I mean, I've been two under through three holes, you know, in my life.
Yeah.
Once or twice. It just doesn't last.
I remember last week I was like something like one under par through six. I'm sitting there going,
It's great.
Good feel. It's a good feeling. Because it's not going to last.
No. It unwinds very quickly.
Like, glad I birdied that first hole.
Yeah. I mean, it's honestly, I think I birdied the first a couple, not the most recent time out, doesn't matter, but I birdied the first and then was just awful after that. And it's more insulting. I would rather just start out as poorly as I am.
You actually can play, so. I'll get to a couple of football things in a moment. But when they did put out the Big Ten basketball opponents, I wouldn't call it a schedule. You know what the Big Ten Network should do? They should do the schedule release like the NFL does, you know, just for some fun.
Why do it all in one shot, though, when you can release it piecemeal like this?
Well, actually, that's what the NFL does. We already know who the opponents are and where the games
are. That's true.
Right? It's the order. And now we get to find out the order and network. We could turn it into a full production. But Penn State's schedule has been deemed, in terms of the Big Ten, how it plays out, the toughest of the group. What makes it that way?
That's a great question. They get a lot of projected good teams, right? Now, first of all, the group that put these rankings together is a gambling site, right? And they awarded points, effectively, for the difficulty of teams that you're going to face. Okay, so they did ESPN Top 25, On3 transfer portal rankings, 24/7 recruiting rankings, right? Like all of that stuff factored in. But look, this is the height of silly season, and I think making projections like that for next season based on last year's results is, kind of ridiculous, right? I mean, we're not expecting Purdue to be a drastically different team next season than what they were this year.
Right.
Indiana, right? There's all of those things factor in. So I know they tried to account for some of that stuff, but it is an interesting situation when you add in these West Coast teams, right? Penn State is going to go on the road. They're going to get some road trips. I believe they play Southern Cal and UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be on the road at Wisconsin. They've got Illinois on the road. The thing that most stands out to me is the double plays are so infrequent now.
Yeah, there's three, and I knew that was going to happen. I knew it was going to be 20. I knew it was going to be three home and aways and 14 one plays and want everybody to play everybody. And if you look at the four West Coast schools, their home and aways are all with each other, which is smart. Right?
Yep.
So their home and aways are all with each other. Dick Girardi and I had talked about the fact that we felt that should happen, but that everybody else should be regionalized. In other words, Penn State should have had home and aways with Rutgers, Maryland, Ohio State. Right?
Yep.
Whatever. They got Rutgers. Indiana's near the cul-de-sac. Minnesota's in a different neighborhood.
Yep.
Right. And one of those three has Palestra written all over it, and I'm not, you and I know which one it is. So
there we go. Love it. Give them the taste.
Yeah, but that's what struck me was the lack of regionalization of the home and aways for everybody else besides the West Coast teams.
Yeah. I mean, but look, it is what it is, right? It would be, I think, a little naive to, right, that whether these rankings matter or not is it kind of overshadows the point that no matter where you are in the Big Ten, you're gonna have a tough road, right?
Sure,
I mean, it's just gonna be tough,
sure.
Right? I mean, these teams turn over every season, and every season seems like they restock. So Penn State is one of those teams that really isn't turning over, right? I mean, they're bringing back effectively five of the top seven guys that they had last season.
Yep.
It is one of the at this point in the game of college basketball, a unique instance of longevity, right? I mean, you've got veteran players, you've got guys who have experience, they've been through the ringer at Penn State. Obviously, they brought some transfers in, they're bringing some transfers in, and they have this four-man recruiting class that's coming in. But, I think it would be – I am not anticipating any, really, of those guys to be – to upend or disrupt the starting lineup. Maybe our Swiss-born boy from Northern Illinois. But outside of that, it's really not many changes that you're going to see for Penn State's roster this year.
And now you're going to have more people involved that know the system, which is a tremendous plus for Mike and his staff. They're still trying to craft the non-conference. It's dripping out a little bit here and there as to who they're going to play. Now I want to get to the ticketing part of this. You ran the story on ticketing on 3.com, which is when he's not in the golf course or doing this show, he actually does tremendous work.
Occasionally. I try.
Yeah. So what what does this mean potentially to the average fan?
Yeah, well, I don't think it really means anything to the average fan, Steve. Just to be perfectly honest,
right.
The Beaver Stadium's future. And I'm taking from a Sports Business Journal report. I was able to confirm it myself, but effectively, what they want to do at Beaver Stadium is they are outsourcing, to Elevate, I believe is the brand that it's called. They are outsourcing its premium ticket sales, right, for the future, for future schedules for Penn State football. It's a world that realistically we may see on a tour of the new stadium, right?
Yeah.
But are many of us going to be frequenting these things? No, probably not. But the general outline of how this works is Penn State Athletics is not in the market or equipped to sell a premium experience in terms of Penn State football games.
Yeah.
That's it's pretty universal, and the reality of some of the other clients that this group has is that nobody else is either. That's not what these athletic departments are equipped to do or meant to do. And so effectively the service is, hey, Elevate, Element, they are positioned in the market specifically to sell those tickets. They know what the market is, how to price it. They know what amenities are expected. They know what services are needed within the course of a game before and after. And they're going to sell those for Penn State moving forward.
Yeah. So now NIL, I spoke in Newcastle last night, so I was out in Ohio last night, right near Ohio, right on the border. And then I'm going to Philadelphia tomorrow for the NIL event. NIL came up, of course, with the populace last night in Lawrence County. It comes up everywhere. It comes up everywhere. They had proposed at one point this NIL tournament, and it got put on the shelf. It is now coming back, right? And they want to go 8 schools this year and 16 the year after. Is this where we're headed with all this, where specific events are going to be to benefit NIL?
That's a good question. I don't know. Maybe it's naive of me to think that I don't think so, but I think that the broader trend of where this is headed is very evidently and clearly that NIL will be handled in-house, right? The schools will have the authority to arrange deals, right, on the micro, right, for very specific marketing deals. with individual players, sponsorship deals, that kind of stuff, but also in the macro of, hey, Penn State has a Pepsi contract, and it is going to be permitted to siphon off some of that money to direct toward its player compensation. You know, Ross Dellinger had a very insightful, I thought, piece today over at Yahoo Sports about what this actual model is going to look like. And even that, what I just referenced, the corporate sponsorships, that kind of stuff, it kind of pales in comparison to splitting off a chunk of television revenue. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, to me, that is very clearly where this is headed, is that NIL and player compensation will land somewhere. I believe the figure he used was $17 to $21 million per year. I think it'll be a little bit higher than that, but it won't be on this, the current system relying so heavily, entirely on the generosity of businesses and donors and boosters and supporters, all of that stuff. That will not be the core foundation of how player compensation is handled in the future. It'll be part of it. It'll be part of the conversation. It'll be something to top you off. But is it going to be this, where it's, hey, sink or swim based on the whims of your booster culture? I don't think so. I don't think it's going to be that in the future.
I think once, and I mentioned this last night when it was brought up, and I said, look, at some point there has to be structure, because I believe that if you put structure and the fans understand the structure as opposed to the Wild West, they'll have fewer problems with it.
No. Yeah, I actually think that the NCAA's missteps, of which there have been too many to count.
Yeah, they're good at it.
Yeah, they're pretty good at it. Yeah. I think that the things that they're not able to regulate for student athletes, and really should never have been able to regulate for student athletes, it's still within their purview to regulate how programs operate, how universities operate. And so to me, something that I haven't really seen it discussed, but I thought of it the other day. I was like, why isn't it that, okay, you can enter the transfer portal as a player whenever you want, that's fine, free movement, okay, if you're not on professional contracts, which eventually they will be, but for the time being, if you're not on those contracts, well, why should the school be able to limit your movement? Fine.
Right.
But why doesn't the NCAA step in and say, okay, all programs, you have a cap like they do.
That's right.
With recruiting, right? For a recruiting class, even if it's something that people can rub up against the rules and get as close to that line as they possibly can, okay, fine. But why can't you say, okay, every school, you are limited to 7 transfers coming in the offseason.
Yeah.
That would dramatically change. That would dramatically change for football. The what is it, Steve? 2,100 people in the portal?
Yes.
It's crazy.
Yes. Yep. 2,100. And guess what? They all aren't going to find homes.
Nope.
And I feel like the transfer portal has actually had a domino effect on recruiting classes. I think it's actually hurting high school players more than it is the establishment right now.
100%. Because if you are doing this correctly, even within the last 3 years since the advent of NIL and the transfer portal, the thinking of the market has changed dramatically. It was in that first class, mm-hmm. Hey, you better pay for these high school recruits. It is worth it to bring in that stud quarterback for $1 million+ without ever having taken a college football snap. Well, now the thinking is, don't do that. That'd be crazy. That would be crazy to allot what money you do have to somebody who is untested like that, not only because it's unlikely that they're going to be able to help you on the field that first year that they're in the program, but also because they can leave.
Yeah.
They can, right? After 1 year, they can they can bail. They can bolt. So why would you do that when you can work the way that basketball has worked effectively for years of having this feeder system, right? Find the guys who want a last crack or maybe have 2 years left that have done something at a lower level and bring them up because they've already proven that they can do it.
There's a somewhat forgotten guy on the Penn State defense because he's been out with injuries, and that's Smith Vilbert. And I thought you wrote a tremendous article about him. What did you learn about him as he now pursues his sixth year and is in a position where he can contribute?
He is a big dude. That is the lesson.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's a basketball player. He was a basketball player coming through. That's why his footwork's so good. But he was a basketball player at one point.
Yeah, 6'6", 285, right? This guy he's been through it. He has been out of sight, out of mind, effectively, for the last 2 years. He didn't play with a suspension for 2022. He played in the Rose Bowl, obviously. But even then, it was, I think, 5 snaps in that game. And then this past season, he's been out, right? He missed the entirety of the 2023 season with an injury. So, just because he hasn't been at the forefront of everybody's minds doesn't mean that he can't contribute. And I think that what you're seeing is, Penn State has needs there. Right? They have needs on the defensive line. You've lost a couple of draft picks to the NFL from defensive end spots, and Vilbert has some position flexibility that I think really, really helps him to be able to play both defensive tackle and defensive end.
My friend, always a pleasure. I'll let you go back out. What were you on, the 8th hole, 2 under?
Today's a work day. Today's a work day, Steve. No. Today, but I appreciate the sentiment. It makes
No. It's a work day. I can't stand when the job gets in the way of your job.
Trying to get 1% better every day.
Gee, where have I heard that before? Hey, Nate, thanks, buddy. I always appreciate it so much.
All right, thanks for having me.
Nate Bauer on 3.com, Blue White Illustrated. One of the best, without question. We'll wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
You know, I saw that, of course, the reports about the Tom Brady roast. So Todd and I were thinking about putting together a suit roast. The problem we had was that the number of people that wanted to get up there and roast them was so long, the program would take 4 days. Now, it would fill the room, but it would be filled with participants.
The crowd left a little to be desired.
And now let's go to the 8th person at table 12. It's your turn. Oh, I've got stories.
Let the Chief go for an hour.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you right now, there is a living broadcasting saint.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.